Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Rod Peterson. Be sure to join Dupes and me in Houston, Texas, this December from the 5th to the 10th. I guarantee you we'll be checking in on the Texans and the Broncos on NFL Sunday, plus two live shows with all our football buddies, including George Cortez and Don Narcisse. If you've always wanted to see a college football game and it's on your bucket list, why not join us in Houston for a college football playoff game? We're waiting on the Houston Rockets NBA schedule, but if they're home, one of the hottest teams in the NBA will be part of the trip. Check us out now at rodpeterson.com/trip, and thanks to Uniglobe for putting it on.
Oh yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on a Tuesday, August the 13th, 2019. We are in the bunker for episode number 51 of the program, originating from a field in Saskatchewan where we have seen the sun for the first time in a few days. Looking forward to talking sports with you today on what I would call a star-studded lineup. Marshall Legs Hamilton in the bunker with us. No shorts today, Marshall.
I'm wearing jeans today.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Well, it was raining for the last couple of days. A little bit cool this morning. What the heck?
Fair enough, yeah.
Change of pace.
He's got the Gams under wraps today. Marshall Legs Hamilton. Darren DuPont's here. If I'm Jay, he's Dan. How's that?
That's good. And it works, too, because you're 6'4", and I'm not.
Did you see that they're coming to town?
Yeah.
To
November,
the Connexus
right?
Art Center. Yeah, in November. Go watch Jay and Dan live. I might take that in.
What day of the week is that?
I have no idea.
Maybe they're in here in the
one
morning.
One day at a time, remember?
Right.
I don't
Clark?
Know. Can you get on that, Clark?
Already did.
Of course he did.
Oh, he's already on it. He doesn't have an answer. He's just looking into it. Hey. Today's show is a moving target, which we've learned to tap dance in our years in sports talk. But TSN's Joey Alfaro, TSN Montreal's Joey Alfaro was going to be with us from Montreal. Understand he is barfing his guts out this morning in Montreal.
Ooh.
Bad hot dogs at Rogers Cup?
I thought they were pretty good.
Did you? Best hot dogs in the world are in Montreal.
Yeah.
Just so you know. So we send our regards to Joey Alfaro in Montreal. Can't make it today. Friend of the program, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So TSN Hamilton's Marshall Ferguson will step in. He of the Ticats who came out of the game of the week, the most exciting game of the week, that big win over the BC Lions on Saturday. But this is mind-blowing to me. Marshall Hamilton, Marshall Ferguson from Hamilton. I can never get it straight. It always screws me up. Anyways, that's hour one. Coming up in hour two, the ageless, the peerless legend, Costa Maragos, will be in the bunker. He's here now on the sponsor's couch. Hey, hey, how about a hand for Costa Maragos, everybody? A legend. I've got a lot of respect for him, and he knows that, and CBC's Peter Mills as well.
How does Peter feel?
Yeah, Peter Mills is right?
Yeah, no, Peter's still building his brand. Peter's a great guy. So we're going to have a lot of fun with Costa and Peter coming up in hour two. Legendary number 51s in honor of episode number 51. Have you thought about it at all?
Not even a little bit.
Marshall always comes way out of left field with his.
I'm like, thinking defenseman.
Don't have one yet.
Silas McKinney was the one. For, what number was that?
37.
Number 37. That was awesome.
Brian Campbell wear 51? Thinking of 51 defenseman. That's all I'm thinking of.
Clark is saying in my ear.
Jake Gardner.
Jake Gardner.
Yeah, of course he is.
Got your Leafs jammies on today, Clark? Marcus Adams, of course. Marcus Chunky Adams, number 51. Abu Meshrick let that out of the bag yesterday. He couldn't wait for today's show. Chicago Bears great Dick Butkus. Marshall, you remember him.
Yep.
People say the dirtiest player in football history.
I probably remember him more from movies than I do from,
yeah,
from
no
football
kidding.
Because
that's
of
right.
my age. But, yeah.
He was great.
Pretty much a legend.
Ichiro Suzuki. Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
The big unit. Bernie Williams, a lot of baseball greats. Willie McGee of the Cardinals, and from the NFL, Takeo Spikes. So there's more pretty good number 51s. Anyways, it's National Left-Handers Day today. I don't know if you guys saw that or not. Who's your favorite left-hander in life? Mine's my mom.
Good
you
question.
Know any?
just throwing all the tough ones out at us early in the morning.
I should have really teed you up for
you
this.
You should have. It's like we didn't do any show prep at all. Left-handers.
Do you not know any?
I'm just thinking athletes. That's
no, no, no. People. People. My mom.
I don't know.
Weston Dressler and my mom. Think about it. We'll get back. Just hit pass.
There's nine of us in our family, not one lefty.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah.
Ned Flanders.
We all shoot left in hockey, if that counts.
That's odd. That's odd. Anyways, National Left-Handers Day. Shout out to all the lefties. Regina Red Sox Swift Current 57s were rained out last night in Game 2 of the WNBL East Final in Swifty. So they'll try it again tonight. If Game 3 is needed, it'll go tomorrow night here in the Queen City in Curry Field. A lot of things to get to, but we were just going in through our pre-show meeting here with numbers of viewers. And what we found out, Darren, as you know, we have a lot of views in Edmonton. And this is where, on the warm-up, we're going to do a deep dive into something that involves the Eskimos and the Ottawa Red Blacks. But isn't it odd? We saw all these viewers in Edmonton, and they don't say a bloody thing.
No, we don't hear from them on the show. In the comments section, it's crazy.
What's wrong, Edmonton? Cat got your tongue?
If you think you're hiding from us, you're not.
You're not.
We know you're there.
We can see you. Come on, Edmonton, chime in today. And although I have a list of topics to get to, I'm going to start there. So I'm reading the article in the Edmonton Sun this morning about from Jerry Mottenjohn, the Flying Dutchman, reporter on the Eskimos, saying there's a new rivalry in town, guys, in the CFL. It's the Eskimos and the Ottawa Red Blacks. There was a war of words going into last week's game. You probably were familiar with that. Mm-hmm. Trevor Harris left. And, of course, I don't have the score written down on this page. What did it end up?
16-12.
16-12. Eskimos beat Ottawa in not a memorable game, but Edmonton still won. Trevor Harris wouldn't talk about it. And as I dug a little more into the article and read it from Jerry, so the deal was this. Trevor Harris had a verbal agreement to re-sign with the Red Blacks going into free agency. And lo and behold, he ends up with the Edmonton Eskimos. Now, we have talked about it on this show in that I thought he was staying in Ottawa. He said he wanted to re-sign with the Red Blacks. The Red Blacks said they wanted him. Next thing you know, he's signing with Edmonton. What changed? Well, welcome to life, particularly pro football. Things change. My question to you guys is, if it was only a verbal agreement, does that hold water versus a handshake agreement versus a signed agreement? I don't hold Trevor Harris in the wrong here at all. I'd like to say you said you're going to do it, but if you didn't do it, I get it. This is my point. If you shook on it, it's a deal. I believe. Legally, it's not.
Of course.
Morally, it is. And then signed agreement. Sometimes even people go back on those. But I'm just, Marshall, I'll start with you. I'm with Trevor Harris in this. If they agreed to something, but they didn't sign it, and he ends up in Edmonton, I say good for Trevor Harris.
Well, I'm not going to answer that question directly. Let me answer it indirectly. You've already said this, but morally, it's an agreement. Legally, it's not. But I think we need to all be careful not to jump to the conclusion that if there was a verbal agreement, that it was Trevor Harris that broke the verbal agreement. Because any of the two parties, and it could be both of the parties, caused that verbal agreement to fall apart. It may have been a verbal agreement that says, would you like to sign with the Ottawa Rough Rider or Ottawa Red Blacks? Yes, I would. Well, we'd like to have you back. Well, that sounds like a verbal agreement, but that's not even getting into the money yet. You know, well, what I meant was I'd be willing to sign him for $300,000 a year. And Trevor Harris says, well, what I meant was I would be willing to come back for $700,000 a year.
Right.
So there's so many, and that's why you put things on paper. That's why lawyers make the livings that they make, is because they take this unknown things that are in Trevor's mind, the unknown things that are in, you know, the Edmonton's Ottawa's management's mind, put them on paper, and when we see, okay, yeah, now we're close enough, let's sign a deal. So I would just be really cautious to everybody out there not to jump to the conclusion that Trevor Harris was the one that broke, if there was one, a verbal agreement.
Yeah, it's the thing that I've been thinking about a lot lately too. It's all about expectations versus reality in any relationship. And you know, you have different expectations in your head about a situation than the other person. Well, somebody's going to be upset. And to me, you know, you can have a verbal agreement or a handshake, or you can have it written. I don't want to stick to this is better than this and this is better than that. It's about the spirit of the agreement. And if he says, yeah, I want to resign, I resign here, I want to play here. And then when it comes time to the money, and he's like, whoa, but I thought you were going to actually pay me what I'm worth.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, now this isn't what I talked about, right? Or it all depends on what the spirit of the agreement was or the spirit of that conversation. I promise lots of things that you don't deliver on. I'm going to do the dishes, but I didn't realize it was 12 sink loads of dishes, right? And something came up, right? So I don't.
Things change.
Things change, and yeah. We'll never know but really the spirit of the two-person conversation.
I think you're talking around to how I opened it. I think you guys agree with me that if it's not signed, it's not signed. What was the story I told you on the way coming home from Saskatoon, Darren, about a deal that I had in the NHL? And Tiger Williams said to me on the phone, good luck getting it signed. And I'm like, what do you mean good luck getting it signed? I already shook on it.
Right.
Good luck getting it signed.
Sometime even a signed agreement doesn't get the job done. I mean, look at Antonio Brown. They changed the helmet last second, and now all of a sudden he doesn't want to play.
Great.
Right?
Well, that's a great point.
And he said he wasn't going to play. He was going to retire.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden now he's changed that decision, and he's going
to
play.
Because he wasn't actually willing to retire.
So just to put a bow on the Ottawa-Edmonton new rivalry in the CFL, which I think is new since half the Red Blacks went over to Edmonton.
Well, and Jason Moss before that.
Well, right. Moss too. But that's one of the newest rivalries. I think it's cool. Who did anything wrong here? Not Trevor Harris. I think with the Red Blacks players, and it was Antoine Pruneau who was, running his mouth, as they say in football terms. He was mad at Trevor Harris. I don't have any issues with Trevor Harris, do you guys?
I don't, but you know, I'd be really curious. I mean, I know you called out the Edmonton fans that watch the show yeah. to say respond. I'd love to hear what some of them think about this because, you know, up until this week, you know, I probably had nothing bad to say about Trevor Harris. And I still, for the most part, don't have anything bad to say about him. But this caused me to go, I'm wondering if there's any truth to that. I'm wondering if there's any dispute in the locker room. Was there a dispute in the locker room in Ottawa between some of the players and Trevor Harris? Is Antoine Pruneau the only guy that felt that Trevor Harris was pointing the finger at others when things started to go off the rails a bit? Or were there others that felt that way? And does it cause you, the Edmonton Eskimo fans, to think differently about your quarterback now after a win that wasn't really very convincing than it did, you know, a week from now or a week earlier? I mean, earlier in the year, he looked like he was walking on water and the Edmonton Eskimos were walking on water and their defensive line was sacking Mike Riley 5 to 7 times every single game. They're still a really good football team, but kind of that luster that was on Trevor Harris earlier in the season isn't quite as bright now. So I'm wondering what they think of that.
Okay, well, fair. I like Trevor Harris, great quarterback, good Christian kid. I think the world of him, so I'm going to take his side in this. How's that? Because I am somewhat anti-team with the way they go back on deals. But moving on to the Antonio Brown thing, I'm interested in where you guys get your NFL news from, because I get it from two sources. One, I watch ESPN every morning, all morning, till I come here. Pit stop at the gym in between. And two, USA Today. They send out a really nice NFL capsule almost daily. A lot of it's on Antonio Brown. Where do you guys get your NFL news? Do you get it from TSN, Sportsnet, somewhere else?
I get probably half of it from TSN, the other half from Good Morning Football I think it's good.
NFL Network, yeah.
NFL Network, yep. Good Morning Football. And you're picking up a lot of the same stuff, but that's where I get it.
Yeah, we usually watch Good Morning Football in here for, you know, a couple hours before the show, but Twitter mostly, and the Score app is my one. The Score app gives me all the notifications as the news breaks.
Right, so Clark's telling me 2 minutes. I want to talk about the NBA schedule coming out yesterday, but in 1 minute, what are we going to say about Antonio Brown? I mean, he's showing up finally to Oakland Raiders training camp today. The NFL saying if you can find a new version of the helmet you want, we'll allow you to wear it. That's why he's holding out. I mean, you're the National Football League. You can't get a helmet designed and manufactured for Antonio Brown, one of the biggest stars in the game. What's your take?
Well, and Tom Brady, who came out and said, I've been using this helmet for 4 Super Bowls, and now I got to change the helmet because they came out with a new style, and they're not letting him wear the old one. So it's not just an Antonio Brown issue, but he was the only one who actually threatened to retire over the helmet issue. You should probably be able to come up with a helmet that you can play. But
yeah,
if you're a good enough athlete and you're at an NFL level, should the helmet really matter that much? They're all playing
with
it. They're
all good helmets. And for me, the helmet is the small issue. I think the bigger issue is Antonio Brown. How do you jump in a cryo chamber without covering your feet and getting, I don't know, for anybody that saw the gross blisters on the bottoms of his feet.
He's got frostbite.
From that. I mean, that was unbelievable. You know, who's helping you jump in this thing? Did you jump in all by yourself with no instructions? Say, hey, there's a cryo chamber. I think I'm going to go bathe in it and then wreck your feet for a month.
The Adam Sandler movie where he's got the black feet. What's the one where he gets rich?
I don't know. There's no IQ test clearly for this. But the one thing that I heard this morning listening to NFL radio, I guess I get from a lot of sources, but that the vision in the new helmet isn't what he's used to, so he can't see. The mask is bigger than what he's used to. He's not comfortable. And I get it, because I remember when Golding mask when they came out. Ooh. Fiberglass mask came out. It was the same thing. No thanks. I was in camp with the Wheat Kings. Trevor Kidd and Kelly Hitchens were there, and they both had these masks. Well, Kidd wouldn't wear one either because it was heavy. You couldn't even lift your head, and you couldn't see.
But let's go back to hockey. I mean, I remember the first time I started wearing a visor. I didn't like it, but I wore it because it was the safest thing to do. And once you play three or four games in it, before you know it, you don't even know you got it on. So Antonio Brown, get over it. Put the helmet on. You know, wear it to a couple of practices. Before you know it, it'll look just the same. Feel just the same as your other one.
Real quickly, in 30 seconds. So the NBA schedule came out yesterday. You know something's on our side, right, Darren?
Oh, yeah.
Two NBA games when we're in Houston for our inaugural Rod Peterson Show trip. Two games, folks. Houston Rockets, one of the NBA super teams here in 2019-20. They're home to the Phoenix Suns, and they're home to the Sacramento Kings.
Which are two of the young up-and-coming teams.
Right. So, to quote John Lynch, it's just going to be fantastic. So, our poll question today for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center is, who would you rather see on our Houston trip? For those of you that are coming, or for those of you that are on the fence and would like to come but haven't jumped in yet, would you rather see the Houston Rockets and Phoenix Suns, or the Houston Rockets and Sacramento Kings, or the tantalizing favor that I would vote for, both?
Yeah. I thought you were going to come up with some like Slack Division II league or something.
No. And we got college football to go to. We got the NFL, Texans, and Broncos. So go to rodpeterson.com/trip for details or sign up. That's the warm-up. We still got plenty to get to, and we're going to Hamilton after this break. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Employee pricing is back.
You pay what we pay with savings up to $19,000 on a 2019 F-150 Supercrew 4x4. And we got them starting at just $34,999 plus tax. Our new 2019 Ford Escapes are starting from just $24,999 plus tax. And you can save $6,000 on remaining 2019 Ford Explorers. Plus, most purchases qualify for $1,000 trade-in bonus cash.
You pay what we pay! Yeah!
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
All right, welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show, everybody, on a Tuesday morning. Quick sports update. The Blue Jays rolled to their 10th win in 15 games in a big way. Brandon Drury hit his first career Grand Slam, and Justin Smoke, Randall Grichuk, and Danny Jansen all homered as Toronto toppled the visiting Rangers 19-4. Rookie Bo Bichette stayed hot with the first four-hit game of his career. Mitch Keller earned his first Major League victory. Jacob Stallings had a homer and a two-run double, and Pittsburgh snapped its eight-game losing streak with a 10-2 victory over the Angels. Kevin Newman, Josh Bell, and Ryan Reynolds also homered for the Pirates, who won for just the third time in 21 games. And a rental vehicle being used by ESPN analyst Alex Rodriguez was broken into Sunday night, and Rodriguez said several items of personal and sentimental nature were stolen, up to $500,000 worth. The break-in happened while A-Rod was having dinner at a restaurant in San Francisco after a game the ESPN crew called between the Phillies and the Giants.
So he's in San Francisco on a road game. So you go to another town to call a game. What type of $500,000 worth of souvenirs and valuables are you taking with you in the rental car?
That's why our next guest, Marshall Ferguson, always limits his personal items to $50,000 worth that he's leaving in his rental car. And I will ask you guys, what do you remember from having stolen from your vehicle? Because I do have a story. It happened in 1999 in this town, believe it or not. My car was broken into. And, well, I'll say it right now, a laptop, glasses, and a mini disc recorder were stolen. Mm-hmm. And I fortunately had it replaced by my employer, but I've never left anything in my car since. Nothing. So when I see guys have their Grey Cup rings, Super Bowl rings, Stanley Cup rings stolen out of their cars, do you want me to name them?
Why are they
Matt
in the
Dominguez,
car?
Looking at you, Corey Banks. I'm like, what are you guys doing? But they haven't been robbed yet, until they do.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's go to the coffee cup right now. Tim Hortons Field in Hamilton, where there is no crime. Marshall Ferguson joining us, the voice of the Ticats. How you doing, Marsh?
I'm good. Yeah, I try to limit it to at least, I would say, less than $100,000 in the car. One time, I had $50,000 stolen out of there, and I just kind of shrugged it off and moved on. So it's all, it happens.
Do you have a story of a car break-in at all in Hamilton or somewhere else?
Only one I've ever had was actually, I was covering the 2015 East-West Bowl when it was at Percival Molson Stadium at McGill University, and my dad drove down from Kingston, where I'm from, to come and just basically watch the game, because honestly, I was done playing at that point. I think he just wanted to go watch a university football game. So he came to Montreal, and he was in the crowd, and he was taking all these shots because he works in media as well. So he's kind of working his photography and all these different things. And we went back to the car, and right next to Percival Molson, right on the side of the hill, you know where it is there, Rowdy, the back window of his car was just smashed out. And we just walked up to the car, and it was a pouring rainstorm. And we were like, really? And we looked inside, the glass was all over it, and they had stolen a bunch of his camera equipment, which was actually decently expensive stuff. But so we drove home with the window down. He didn't talk the whole 2 hours all the way home. He was furious. And then we ended up getting home, and he called insurance, and we dealt with all that. But man, A-Rod, $500,000. Like, we actually talked about it on my show in Hamilton this morning. What the hell do you keep in your car that's worth $500,000?
Like,
I'd have a hard time accruing enough goods that I could get to $500,000.
I would guess a couple World Series rings, perhaps. I have no idea. But and by the way, there are some rough areas of Montreal. I'll tell that story. That is a rough area of Montreal. I'll tell that story later. Marshall, nobody voted for BC Hamilton to be Canada's Game of the Week in our poll last week, and it turned out it was. What a thrill a minute at Tim Hortons Field on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, that was a fun one. It was one of those kind of classic CFL games where I'm kind of laughing because I'm standing in the play-by-play booth, and with about 4 minutes left, I didn't see an exodus. It wasn't like the Miami Heat fans when they thought they were going to lose the championship to the San Antonio Spurs and everybody starts scattering for the exits and then they're banging on the doors trying to get back in. But there was kind of this like slow, I would say almost like a mosh pit of people. You could kind of see people slowly standing up and starting to shift towards the exits. And we go to the three-minute warning. I looked at my color guy, Mike Morielli, and I said, don't do that. Like, this thing is never over. And especially when you deal with a return game like the Tiger Cats have this season, where at any point they can flip field position on you. And I just felt like that was a game, in all honesty, they probably should not have won, because I genuinely think that BC was the better team for the majority of it. But it's the CFL, as you guys know. And I just feel like at that point in the game, anything could have happened. And sure enough, it did. They got a big return. They got two shot plays to the end zone to Brandon Banks. One of them cashed in. It stood, which we were honestly a little bit surprised by, the Brandon Makes catch that actually stood as the winning touchdown, because we couldn't tell the difference. But I guess when it's called a touchdown on the field, it has to be clear and obvious evidence that it was not actually a completed pass for the touchdown that ended up winning the thing. So it was a bundle of fun. It was great. It was first responders night. It was the Hall of Fame game, which always has a bit of a different vibe here in Hamilton on that night. So all in all, a really exciting time for everybody involved. But man, I saw Matthew Shinetti's interview with Mike Riley in the BC locker room afterwards, and it wasn't just the ankle injury. It was just the general tone of the room. I've played on an 0-8 football team before when I was in junior varsity playing Ontario Varsity Football League for the Limestone Grenadiers, and we were trash. And we went 0-8, and I threw 20 interceptions over 8 games. And I just remember that feeling of just, like, you feel like you can't get anything right. Even when you get things right, even when there's a flicker of hope, like a big, long Brian Burnham 47-yard touchdown, or when there's a shot play to the end zone, or John White walks into the end zone because the blocking is so great up front on a running play, you just shoot yourself in the foot with a big return here and then a touchdown there, and then you go back and you get on the team bus and you're like, how the hell did we lose that game? It doesn't make any sense. So BC certainly dug themselves into a hell of a hole here.
Marshall, it's a fellow Marshall, by the way. I love your first name.
So, yes, Marshall, good to see you. Always wanted to say that.
Yeah. As I watched that game, two things stood out for me is what an impact Brandon Banks has on that football team, because it was just a week prior that they were playing against the Saskatchewan Roughriders, and we were saying on this program that you know, that you're sure catching the Hamilton Tiger Cats at the right time when they're playing without Simone Lawrence, you know, big inspiration on defense. Brandon Banks, huge inspiration on both offense and special teams, and you're playing without Mazzoli and Dane Evans' first game. But this game, you know, fast forward a whole week, Brandon Banks is back, has a tremendous impact on that game. And all the Hamilton Tiger Cat fans, and I'm finally getting to my question, they got to feel a lot more comfortable about Zane Evans today than they did when Mazzoli first got hurt.
Yeah, for sure. And I think with time, Ticats fans, and I've said this since the unfortunate switch had to be made at quarterback with Mazzoli going down with the season-ending ACL, but I've seen enough from Dane Evans through his 2 years, really 2.5, 3, if you want to count kind of his early days in spring camp and all that kind of stuff. But it's something I think I told you guys when I was on last time when I was out there in Saskatchewan, which is, like, he's so consistent in his delivery. His pocket movement always makes sense. He's never out of control. He's always within the box, as you like to say, as a quarterback, where the ball is always within the shoulders and the release is quick and it always comes off the shoulder. And there's just a lot of little quarterbacky type things that make a lot of sense. Now, I'll say this, like, I love the way that he looks. The production for Cody Fajardo in Saskatchewan is actually considerably better so far in terms of being able to come. And I know Fajardo's had an extra 6 to 8 games, whatever it is now, but like, I, for me, Cody Fajardo does a lot of things kind of untraditionally, like his release and his footwork and his timing. And sometimes it comes out a little bit like a sidearm thing that almost looks like Phillip Rivers to me at times. But Fajardo just gets it done. To me, I look at Evans, I'm like, oh, he's got every tool to be able to make this situation work, and not just work, but have success. And yet I think people are going to fall in love with it. I think there's going to be a lot of success in the offense. I see all the ingredients of it, but it just has to keep snowballing. And I think you have to kind of piece together more than the back end of a third quarter and the start of a fourth, or the back end of a fourth quarter, because you guys know when you were there in Saskatchewan and got a chance to see him live, like, it comes out of his hand nice, right? Like, when he gets into it and when he gets into a rhythm like he did back end of the third quarter, start of the fourth in Regina, he feels like he's a real CFL quarterback. Like, he's a next generation after Bo Levi, after Mike Riley, up and coming type of guy. But then there's stretches of the game where it just goes cold. And I think that's natural for a younger player. But I would love to see him put together a game where he breaks 400 yards passing, where he completes 75 to 80% of his passes, because I think he's got that in him. I don't know when it's going to come, but I know he's got all the tools to be able to make that happen. So again, with time, I think Hamilton fans and really CFL fans that are looking for the next generation of CFL quarterbacks will come to love and appreciate him, because he signed a 3-year contract. So I don't know what that means for Hamilton moving forwards, or whether he becomes a very appealing piece to other teams around the CFL in the offseason, depending on free agency and player movement. But I mean, conceivably, he's under contract, but via trade, if a team really wanted him, they could really try to sweep the Ticats off their feet if he shows out well for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, sorry, you got to follow.
What I was just going to say is, what I saw a noticeable difference between the game against Saskatchewan versus the game against BC was a level of confidence, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but a level of cockiness that wasn't there in the Saskatchewan game, and I saw buy-in from his linemen and his offensive receivers, and his, you could just see that they had confidence in him. And I didn't see that in Saskatchewan, but I certainly saw that in the game against BC.
Yeah, and I would also say, just to add on to that, that I think sometimes when you go into your first career start and you're doing it in that environment in Saskatchewan, which is special and different, as we all know, that you almost try to fake it to kind of convince yourself. Like, I've been there on my first start as a backup quarterback going in for a suspended starting quarterback at McMaster University was at Windsor. And again, at Windsor is not, it's not Mosaic. It's not playing in front of fans like that, but it was a road game and we were driving a long way on a team bus with the guys. Everybody's kind of giving you the look like, is this guy going to be for real? Or like, how is this going to, and you basically have to fake it until you make it, right? And I think in that game, Saskatchewan, what you're talking about there, Marshall, is he was trying to fake it. He was trying to convince himself. In the BC game, he meant it, and he showed it. And I think that's the difference, is you could totally tell it was a different vibe in the huddle. What I'm really excited about is the Tiger Cats' next two games, the CFL and TSN, are live mic games. So if you want to learn something about Dane Evans and how he handles himself in the huddle, how he communicates, my favorite thing about the live mic is that the guys who really know the offense, when you break the huddle, they'll break the huddle and go, you know, Rebel Right, WZ Cross, X Bomber, blah, blah. And they make the call and then they go ready break and everybody walks out and they'll add that little tidbit at the back end of it where they'll look over and grab the running back Cameron Marshall and say, hey, Mac DeWill, or hey, they'll go, hey, Tasker, you're live, or hey, look for it. Or like, they'll give that little signal as they're leaving the huddle. I'm really excited to see, now that we get the mic on him, the next two games, Ottawa this Saturday, in BC the following Saturday, what he does to interact with all of his teammates.
That's interesting. And we were talking about this after Mazzoli went down. I mean, with the Tiger Cats being a Grey Cup contender and having the lead they have in the East, there's no rush. You've got some time to figure it out to see if he's going to be the guy to lead you to a Grey Cup. But every other piece is there. So is it still a patience thing to see if he's going to keep evolving, if the snowball is going to keep rolling down the hill, to see if he's a guy to lead to the Grey Cup? Or do you think they're fully committed to him for the year?
I think they're in, honestly. I really do, Darren. I don't know what they would want other than him at this point. You know, you can bring in people. And this is, honestly, it's the same conversation that I had with my co-host Kyle Mello on TSN 1150 in Hamilton about Winnipeg. Because Kyle is constantly like, you know, if Matt Nichols doesn't get this done, then Nichols has got to be out of there. And this is the last chance Nichols is getting. And if he doesn't look right, or if he acts like he doesn't really, you know, can't produce by himself, he's got to be out of there. And maybe O'Shea's got to be gone. I'm like, Kyle, who else do you want? Like, you can get rid of people, but you have to bring in people that are better. Like, it's not addition by subtraction. It has to be addition by addition. And so I feel like right now the quarterbacking room of the Ticats is kind of like that, where, okay, take out Nichols. Who do you want? You want to go and get somebody younger that has less CFL experience? You want to go get an NFL name and hope they learn the CFL game? Do you want to get an up-and-coming negotiation list player and hope they figure it out on the fly? Like, no. Like, Winnipeg is best with Matt Nichols doing what he does in that offense. And I think for Hamilton right now, they've invested in Dane Evans. They believe in him. The quarterbacking room, Hayden Moore behind him is from the University of Cincinnati. Sounds like a younger Zach Pilaros playing in Hamilton from Cincinnati. But the idea of him being in here, he's not ready. He's young. He's talented. He's got a good arm. Not ready. David Watford, very talented, can sling it. Does he know the full offense yet? I don't think so. Is he ready to go in and be the starting quarterback for the Ticats? I don't think anytime soon, right? He's got a different skill set. So Dane Evans is the best quarterback in this room, and that's why they signed him to the three-year deal. That's why they immediately made him the backup quarterback. That's why it made Manziel expendable last year, because they could see his development kind of coming, and now I get an opportunity to watch him every day at practice like I am right now, and it keeps developing and getting better and better. And he's figuring out Tommy Condell. They're starting to learn each other, I think, and get more comfortable as well. So, yeah, I think they're fully invested at this point. I really do.
Marshall, lastly, before we let you get back to practice, Clark has just prodded me to ask you. We have an option on our sports trip. We're taking our viewers to Houston for Texans, yeah, Broncos in the NFL. And now the NBA schedule came out yesterday. We got Houston Rockets versus Phoenix Suns, or Houston Rockets versus Sacramento Kings. You got to vote. Who would you rather see?
You know what? I would rather see Phoenix, just because I think DeAndre Ayton is a freaky, freaky body. Like, he's just, I love a lot of NBA stuff, as you guys know. And it's, to me, there's not many Joel Embiid type bodies out there that are big men that can stretch the floor, that can shoot, that can run, that can do so much. It's almost like the cheat code that Gronk was in the NFL, where you just get size, speed, athleticism, and you look at it, you're like, that's not okay. Like, that's an extraterrestrial running around playing a sport. So I think that Ayton's probably that guy. And Phoenix is kind of a fun up-and-coming team. They've made a lot of decisions to shoot themselves in the foot the last little while. But, yeah, that's a hell of a trip you guys have got lined up. I'll say that. If the Broncos can get any quarterback play whatsoever, then that's a fun one. And the Texans, I mean... If they can do anything, it's kind of like, honestly, watching the BC Lions. The only thing that can derail the Houston Texans from challenging, I think, for that division against Indianapolis is whether or not they can protect their quarterback. Because Deshaun Watson, with a clean pocket, is as good as anybody in the NFL that's up and coming right now as a young passer that's athletic. But if you don't keep him clean, he is bad. Like, he's basically Marcus Mariota, where every single week, before the week even starts, you might as well just list him as questionable to return, because when he gets banged up,
you
never know what's going to happen.
From the Titans fan in the room.
You're killing me.
Predicting a long year.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a reality. At the start of the season, right, you could be 3 months out from the Titans week one matchup, and they might as well list Mariota as questionable to return.
I know.
And Tannehill, same. I mean,
I know.
Marshall, if they ever give you holidays, we'd love to have you come on that trip. And thanks for your time today, and thanks for your support of the program. We appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Marshall Ferguson, the voice of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, joining us on video chat from the Hammer. Just a couple minutes left in this segment. You guys mentioned, I think it was Marshall, but what a great game that was. And I really was cheering for the BC Lions to pull it off. They've been so great to the show, putting their players on. But they just couldn't cover. They just couldn't stop Hamilton when it mattered. Marshall, BC did not deserve to win the game. That's why they're 1-7 now.
Yeah, I had torn emotions as I watched that game. I wanted BC to win because I always like to see, you know, the underdogs win games, you know, even if they're in our division. But, you know, I like Mike Riley. I feel so, so bad for Mike Riley because he's just getting the crap beat out of him all year long. Would like to have seen them get their first win. But the other side of me that was torn is I've got this bet with Nashville over Hamilton finishing first in the East, and I wanted Hamilton to extend that lead further. So, as a football fan, I just loved watching it. And I love the fact that I think it was 4 minutes left in the game and Hamilton was still down by something like 12 points. And that game was still in the balance. And you can't say that about many NFL games. But in the CFL, the last 3 minutes is like a new game. And Hamilton proved that they could come back from down 12.
Yeah, really exciting. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's the CFL in a nutshell, for sure.
My guess was you weren't watching because you were in Montreal.
I was traveling, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was the day you were coming back?
I think that was the day we were traveling.
Well, and that reminds me, we were watching it at the family reunion. It was actually awesome to watch all these CFL games with my brother, the Cowboy. And, of course, everybody would come into the living room and say, we didn't put on a family reunion so you guys could sit and watch TV all weekend. Well, we're happy. So you guys go do your thing. Yeah. Leave the rest to us. So, yeah, it was a thrill, that game, and then the Friday night game, which actually, I got to get your take, Marshall. Maybe we will after the break on the rainout, the weather protocol rule, and what your thought was. I think yesterday, Dupes and I agreed that we don't have a problem with it. They instituted the rule. Everybody agreed on it. Now they evoke it, and people are mad about it. But when I look at week 10, it's Montreal at Calgary. And I want to say this again. Saturday, Montreal at Calgary. And people say, oh, it's summertime in Calgary. People want to go to the lake. People want to go here, there. So, but when you put it on Thursday, oh, it's Thursday, and we don't want to. It's a midweek game. We got to work tomorrow. Oh, we got to drive. Like, what do? And it's not just Calgary. Every market's the same. Like, get out and go to the damn game. And it's not like they don't know the game's on. It's not like they don't know who the Stampeders are. I see these, Raj Rand for Bronco Plumbing and Heating. Here you go. Go to the damn games. Not just in Calgary, but all across this land. Tickets are not too expensive. The games have been great, as we've just been talking about. I see people all over Calgary. I saw as many people wearing Stampeders gear as anything else. Probably more than I saw Flames or anything else.
But let me ask a rhetorical question.
Yeah.
If that was a Garth Brooks concert, did anybody complain about the fact that those were on a Friday and a Saturday in the
no.
summer?
No. And Friday, we have to travel. So what?
It's an event. If you want to see the event, you travel and you go to it and you pay the ticket.
Yeah. Otherwise, people say, well, we'll go to the games when they mean more. So you're going to shiver your ass off in November? It was minus 27 in the West Final in 2010. Nobody should have been out there. So everybody wanted these games to be moved up. I think we're all in agreement here. So go to them or they'll move it back. Anyways, coming up on the program today, a real CBC flair. Costa Maragas and Peter Mills. Can't wait. Well, pause for now. It's the Rod Peterson Show on a Tuesday morning. You're watching on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch the podcast at CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you. Unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
All right, welcome back to the program, everybody. I'm just checking the Twitter poll. Who would you rather see on our Houston trip with Uniglobe Travel in the NBA? Rockets versus Suns, Rockets versus Kings, or both? Who do you think's winning the poll, Dupes? Are you looking it up right now?
No. But both. Probably both, yeah.
Abundance. Yeah, let's do it.
Or that's another word for I don't want to choose. I
yeah,
can't decide.
Both our Twitter poll, at Rod Peterson Show, and our website poll, rodpeterson.com, are saying both. And the beautiful thing about this show and its time slot is that we're not handcuffed, Darren, by the time that we're on the air. We'll be off the air by noon and ready to do our thing in Houston, Texas, where there's a rodeo every night.
That'll actually be really fun. I remember in Nashville when you'd get up and you'd do the breakfast bar and you'd visit with everybody, and that was great. Everybody wants to talk to you and hear the stories and stuff. Well, now we'll be doing the show at that time, 10 o'clock, so that'll be great. Little brunch.
Get out of bed and come out
and
do the show.
And then you've got the whole day to do your thing.
Yeah. To football talk, quite a few things on my mind. Andrew Green gave, I thought, some really good advice yesterday to Cody Fajardo, if he's watching, on whether to sign or not with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders an extension. And I don't know where you're lying on this, Marshall. I thought that he looked pretty good Friday night. The stats weren't gaudy, but his team won. I'm talking about Cody Fajardo. Andrew Green, like many ex-riders, is saying, do not leave. Don't even leave for more money, because it will not offset the chance to build something here and what you could make both financially and just rich in experiences in Saskatchewan. And you're nodding your head already that you would agree with that.
Well, you've heard me for years on either this program or on In the Huddle talk about how you know, young players and immature players will take $5,000 per season more to go play in Toronto versus Saskatchewan. Now, things have changed a bit over the years, but and because it's $5,000. Instead of thinking about, well, what's it going to cost you for rent? What's it going to cost you for transportation? What's your lifestyle going to be like? What is your marketability going to be like? Are you going to be able to make some money other than playing football during the season? Are you going to be able to make some money other than football after the season? Are you going to be able to parlay your football notoriety and your football career into a job that you can carry on for years to come? And the answer to all of those things, in my opinion, is you have a much better likelihood of that happening in Saskatchewan than you do in any other market in this country. So Andrew Green is at that stage of his career now, his football career being over, where he's going, I do see, and I think he did back then too, I do see the value of those things now that I didn't see when I was 22, 24, 26. So I wish there were more people, and I'm happy to be one of them, I wish there was more people like myself that recognize the big picture, you know, can look at it. When you look at things back when you're 62 years old versus when you're 24 years old, the picture looks very, very different. I'd love to be able to coach some of these guys. I don't want to be an agent, but I'd love to be able to coach some of these guys and say, listen, put the pros and cons down of signing a contract in free agency for $3,000 more in another market versus staying here and building something. And when we're talking about Cody Fajardo, we're not talking $3,000. We're talking about a fair amount of money, and he can make that amount of money here. Every team has the same salary cap. Every team's going to pay their quarterback more than any other player on their team. So just get a good agent, get as much as you can, but stay here in Saskatchewan. And I don't say that because I'm a Rider fan or because I like Cody Fajardo. I'm saying that because I think that's in his long-term best interest.
Sure. Not every agent is the same. Some agents will be saying that, and some agents will be trying to get the most money for their client.
And here's why. They get a percentage.
Right.
They're not thinking the big picture. They're thinking the short-term dollars. I'm going to get more money if I can get him to sign in Toronto for this than if he signs in Saskatchewan for that.
So Dan Vertlieb is the agent for Mike Riley. Did he do a great job by getting his player $700,000 to $750,000 a year? I would say yes. Is Mike Riley regretting it? I don't think so. Definitely not every 2 weeks.
No.
What do you think?
When the check comes, he's definitely not regretting it. That's for sure. And the money is great, and I think the agent probably did the right thing. But yeah, I'm with you, Marshall, and it's a lot about situation too. You know, playing football is playing football. It doesn't matter what the jersey is, but it kind of does. I think it doesn't matter what you're talking about. If you now go to BC, now he's in a new environment. The stadium looks a little different. The teammates look a little different. You're throwing to different colors. Everything's the philosophy's slightly different. Different locker room. And maybe you have to feel like now you got to prove yourself again, and it just changes a little bit. Sometimes it's so important to stay comfortable where you're comfortable and where you're having success and stay in your lane and be self-aware about what makes you successful. Just because you're successful here doesn't mean you can go way over here and you're going to be able to replicate that. Sometimes it's good to capitalize on your success.
I think Mike Riley might be regretting it. I know he would never say it out loud, but I think whether it's right now, whether it's at the end of the season or whether at some point further on in his career, I think Mike Riley's going to go, why did I do that? I was a god in Edmonton. He won't say that out loud, but I was a god in Edmonton. I had the opportunity to market myself for a career, not just a football career, but an entire lifetime career. And maybe I would have made $50,000 less than I got. But you start adding up, you know, how much of each of these sacks, they're not costing him in financial terms, but how much of each of these sacks costing him in terms of the wear and tear on his body? And he's been sacked a tremendous amount of times in Hamilton. He would have been, or in BC, he would have been sacked far, far less in Edmonton. Plus, now we don't know what the playoff picture is going to look like, but it's sort of looking like BC's not going to be in the playoff picture, and it's sort of looking like Edmonton's going to be. Well, there's at least one game check, a playoff check, that's going to happen this year for him if he had been in Edmonton and if he wasn't in BC. And if you fast forward this to 2, 3, 4 years down the road, how many playoff game checks is he going to get in Edmonton versus how many game checks is he going to get in BC? So you need to look at the big picture here, Mike Riley. And I think there's at least a part of him that's regretting that decision.
Well, He would never, like you say, he would never, say.
Never admit it.
So we'll see how it all plays out. We've got Marshall Hamilton with us until the top of the hour. He's also going to be on our television show tonight in the huddle. But I want to ask you, Marshall, a few things here. The returns, the year of the return, wow, as it's been dubbed by TSN. 18 of them already, return touchdowns. And that's punt, kickoff, and missed field goal, right? All of them. There were 15 all of last year, and we're not even at Labor Day yet. Why? Why is this happening this year?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people like know the answer to that, and I don't want to claim to know the answer, but I'll throw some theories out there. I think it's a combination of the return game has become less important in the NFL because of the rule changes. So some of these guys that are specialists at returning kickoffs, returning punts in particular, because down there they get the fair catch rule, some of those specialists are saying, well, I'm not going to be able to get a job in the NFL because I'm not a receiver, I'm not a defensive back, I'm a returner. So they come to the Canadian Football League. So I think you're seeing more talent come into the Canadian Football League in the returner category. I think you're seeing, maybe I'm just sensitive to this, but I'm noticing more and more starters on special teams. Now, back when I played, the rosters were a lot smaller. I think we had 35-man rosters versus like 45-man rosters. But as a backup, which I was for the first 4 years of my career, I played on every single special team. And the starters was like, oh, that's for the backups like Marshall. Well, nowadays, you're seeing more and more starters playing on special teams. I think coaches are starting to recognize that I need to put my best speedsters out there. I need to put my best tacklers out there. I need to put my best athletes out there. And when you do that, I think the product on the field gets better. So I think it's a combination of those things. I think there's also a little bit of luck involved in this too. You know, do I think that, you know, they're projecting 40 some touchdowns by the end of the year because they've got, you know, 20 some now? I think it's going to tail off a bit at the end of the season. You're not going to see huge numbers like that, but clearly well, in my view, they'll set a record this year for the number of returns. And that's really, really exciting for the fan and for the TSN broadcasts and for the product on the field.
By the way, plenty of time left here in hour one of the show. If you've got questions for Marshall or Dupes, fire them at us on the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777. Why do you think? Because this is the most interactive program in the nation. Canada's most watched Facebook live show, right, Dupes?
I think so.
If
yeah.
you got, you know, so
it is.
Text us right into the Facebook wall. What have you? We'd love to have your audience participation. Do you have a thought on why it's the year of the return?
I'm not in those locker rooms and don't really know. I was going to go a little bit opposite of Marshall. You talk about all the rule changes in the NFL that, you know, want to almost eliminate the special teams, and there's been talk on shows like this about, do we need special teams anymore? And all your effort has to go into these really, really complex offensive schemes and your defensive schemes that maybe there's not as much effort being put on special teams, not as much time and practice delivered to special teams. And these returners are sitting there licking their chops and they're taking advantage of that. And they're finding room because there's just not as much emphasis on the special teams because it's been so tight and the rules have made it so non-existent. Again, only 15 touchdowns all of last year, that, okay, we don't really have to worry about that. It's becoming less and less of an impact. Well, this year, the returners are saying, yeah, we can really make some hay here. And it's becoming a real third of the game again.
One more quick comment. I mean, I mentioned rule changes in the NFL, but mm-hmm. I was remiss at saying that there's also been rule changes in the Canadian Football League. Now, this is a little bit old now, but back when I played, when you're on punt cover, if your guy wasn't coming, you just went down the field to cover. So you had 11 guys running down the field as soon as possible to tackle the guy returning the punts. Well, now you can only have three gunners. I don't know what they call them, but the three gunners can go down and everybody else has to wait until the ball's been punted before they can go down. So that rule itself, and I think that's been in place for maybe 4 or 5 years now, but that's a rule change that is designed to help returners get longer returns. So the NFL is going the other direction. The Canadian football is going towards the exciting direction. And, you know, maybe it didn't happen as much in the last few years, but it's certainly happening this year that you're having these returners just lighting up the field with, like, kick. Like, I don't know, what was it, a couple of years ago, TSN had You know, if you returned a second kickoff in the same game, somebody won $1 million. Well, they would have probably given away $4 or $5 million.
Don't remind Karen in Winnipeg.
Yeah. Can I answer Andrew's question? I know Andrew on the Facebook feed on the wall is asking Marshall about, you know, if you think the no yards helps the returners. Kind of what I've seen over the last couple of years is that I think it wouldn't, because I think teams were so not worried about taking the 5-yard no yards penalty that they'd be within the gap anyway to eliminate any returns. So that kind of took away any of the excitement on special teams either, because we said, you know what, if he has a 5-yard return, that's a pretty good job on special teams, just to limit him to 5 yards. So we'll take the no yards penalty, we'll just tackle him as soon as he picks up the ball off the ground, and we'll, you know, bring our defense out and go to town. And I think the no yards didn't really help the returners the last couple.
Yeah, I don't know this for a fact, but I would bet that the coaches and the players are all talking about this, saying if the punt hits the ground, go stand beside the guy when, and as soon as he touches it, tackle him. Because I don't care about the 5 yards.
Yeah.
Because the 5 yards is, if you can limit your returners to 5 yards, you're doing really well. But the 15-yard penalty is a big, 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 big difference. So if that ball's still in the air, you get out of that 5-yard zone and protect us from getting that 15-yard penalty. So I think, I don't know if this is the question, but I think clearly the no yards rule is a good rule in the Canadian Football League. I like the fact that the penalty is now 5 yards if it bounces and 15 if it doesn't. I think they've got it right now.
Yeah. I do too.
Well, the game's great, and these returns are like a video game, aren't they?
Yeah.
They are. And and you can just hear, if you're watching on television or even if you're in the stadium, you can hear the crowd. They get up, they get loud as the guy's returning it. That's an awesome part of CFL games right now. And your take, Marshall, on the Hall of Fame induction Friday night in Hamilton. We, of course, didn't get to see any of it. Trying to get video of Jim Hopson's address, his induction speech, without a lot of luck. Yes, during the Hall of Fame game Saturday, TSN did a great job with the interviews during the game. But your take on the weekend and what you did see?
Well, I would like to see the speeches too, because I think that's a special time to hear the stories and to hear them. You know, most of them probably had a little few tears on the stage as they reminisce. But I would like to see that. But I'm not a Rod Black fan. But I really like how TSN interviews each one of the players, you know, whether it's up in the booth or whether it's down on the sidelines. I like that. And the inductees this year were phenomenal. They really were. They were all special, special players and builders. Jim Hopson, not the least of which, very well-deserving recipients. And I enjoyed watching that game because it was a fantastic game. But I also enjoyed watching each of the interviews.
Yeah, I really wish it would have been televised too, because that gives, you know, the younger fans too a look into the history of the game. You know, when you induct a guy, whether it's Jim Hopson, you can look back on his era in a video and really learn the history of the game and celebrate, you know, the great game in this country and the great history of it. And I think it takes away from the value of the Hall of Fame when I don't get to see that and I don't really get to hear much about it or get to see the interviews. It kind of makes me think that the Hall of Fame doesn't mean that much. And it should, because it means a whole lot.
It's a total chicken and egg scenario. And I'm very close friends with Mark DeNoble, who is the executive director of the Hall of Fame. It's moved from where it was in downtown Hamilton. You ever been there, Marshall?
No.
It's moved into Tim Hortons Field, which I think is great because you're going to at least get some visitors there. But when it was in the museum in downtown Hamilton, I think they averaged 2 visitors a day. So it's like TSN or whomever saying, well, we're not going to televise it. Nobody cares. Well, nobody cares because it's not televised, is my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I will just say this. 2017, I was there for the induction of G. Roy Simon, Anthony Calvillo, Brian Tauris, the running back for the Calgary Stampeders, Michael O'Shea went in, and it was Kelvin Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
What a great class.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful night, and it was on the field, and it couldn't have been better. I'm just thinking the whole country needs to see this. And I can't imagine it wasn't any different this week with Jim Hopson and the crew. But anyways, it seems to be falling on deaf ears. One, you got a point?
Well, yeah, just to follow up on that. I mean, sometimes we have to be more realistic about what it is. And if the CFL Hall of Fame or the Canadian Football Hall of Fame isn't a destination that somebody will put on their Google Maps and go to when they visit the city, then you got to put it in front of people. And the football field's a good idea for sure. And I think if you want to bring more football fans in, put it in the biggest shopping mall, you know, somewhere where it's going to be part of something else that you're doing. You got to start being aware that we're going to have to piggyback on something else to make it big.
And I'm not a social media expert. That's more your field and the younger generation's field. But how hard would it be to film that with your camera and put it on YouTube?
That's what I said. Put your iPhone up and put it. It's not that hard.
No.
That's the problem that I have. JR is watching in Cranbrook this morning. He says, TSN's a joke. All they care about is revenue, not the fans. TSN does love the CFL. I'm sure there's a reason why they're not televising it. I just don't know what it is. We've got more viewer questions. We'll bring them up in hour two with Costa Marigas and Peter Mills. Thank you, gents. Appreciate it. Dupes, we'll see you in overtime.
Yes.
Marshall, we'll see you on TV. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Employee pricing is back. These are all pre-owned vehicles. They all have an employee price.
Get this certified pre-owned 2018 Chevy Equinox LT all-wheel drive for only $24,998 plus tax. Or check out this certified pre-owned 2018 Jeep Compass Limited 4x4 for just $28,750 plus tax. We have over 40 low-mileage Jeeps in stock at Canada's largest GM-certified pre-owned retailer.
You pay what we pay!
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter, that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.